This week's episode is brought to you by the letter D.
Distractive.
Demon summoning.
Diana's birthday! Let's do this.
Devil's Trap Podcast. I'm Diana.
And I'm Liz, coming from the future. We're in the future. We have jumped in a closet and we have come out in the future.
Are we doing your least favorite thing in time traveling?
Yes. That's what this whole episode is. And you know, it's almost like part of it is like, it's almost, I will get to it. Like part of it's like, oh, okay, I can be kind of okay with time travel. And then like, no. I get real mad at it. So,
yeah.
So the reason is we are doing that thing that podcasters sometimes do where we record this a little earlier than usual. So one of us can take a break and run away from their state and go to another state. And
you mean go on a vacation?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what you're doing.
I'm very scared to like say I'm going on a vacation because when I go on vacation, people die. So
you're going on a trip?
I'm going on a trip and I'm going to do research. I may end up traveling. I'm kind of like, so I reached out to National Archives and they have not reached out back out to me. Out that they have not reached back out to me, so I'm not sure because they have letters for Aleister Crowley from when the government was investigating him for being a creepo, and also there was all this German propaganda thing, blah 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 blah. But he was with the woman that I am researching, so I was wanting to see the letters, and I'm sure I could probably find them online if I really look hard enough. But I want to see the letters, them.
That's just way. It'd be way cooler to see them, courtesy of the National Archives, than finding them on the interweb.
And so, within their finding aid, so if you don't know, you've never like been in archives, like it's just basically like a card catalog type thing, right? And so I found like where the like letters and numbers for the things, but they don't match anything in like their online stuff when you're searching. So I don't know like where they are located. So they may be like, I may be able to access them in where I'm going, but they may be in another part of NARA. Mysterious. Yes. So it's just like National Treasure.
Exactly.
It is totally like that. So I will be doing hopefully some of those things and maybe do some research at Library of Congress because they have some books that I want to read that, you know, I'm sure, again, they're probably online. But hey, if I can go look at them like and have them called and brought forth to me in the reading room at the Library of Congress, that's cool. And I pay for that shit, right? So, like, you should use, like, that comes out of my taxes. So, you should use it, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like
they should answer, and they should answer you.
They should
be responsive to you. So,
that's right. And I don't want to, like, God damn it, like, call, like, find somebody I know who works there because I'm sure I do. But, anyways, so I've come back from that. No, I'm still there. When this drops, I will still be there. But something else that will happen is. Someone,
my birthday.
Yes, it'll be, well, we're starting Diana's birthday week because she's still young enough to do that kind of, where she has like multiple celebrations for herself.
Okay.
And
I'll take it.
So this is one of her celebrations and I'm never sure if we can share these things, but whatever, I don't give a fuck. So I am going to share my screen. And Sharon over here, and Sharon, and we're playing.
Diana, Ty Olson here on Cameo. Your friend Liz is asking to reach out to you and wish you a very happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Diana. Happy birthday to you. Apparently it's your first time through the show. Welcome to the SPN universe. Welcome to the shit show. I'm glad you're joining us on this journey. It's a fun one. She said, you're probably halfway through season 8, so no spoilers. So I won't tell you anything about... No. I'm in Bowen Island right now, just enjoying a beautiful sunny day. Spring has arrived, and it's starting to warm up, so stoked about that. Look at this. You're here just for your birthday. Happy birthday to you. I hope you have a fantastic birthday. It sounds like you're surrounded by friends and family and loved ones. And I hope you're doing something fun. I hope you have some cake and some ice cream, some cocktails, whatever the case may be. She says that you're a record exec, music exec, and you co-host a podcast. Let me know when I'm on your podcast. I don't know how old you are, so I don't have a ton of information here, but I am wishing you a happy birthday. Welcome to Bowen Island. Welcome to the Supernatural family. Sending you lots of love. Happy birthday. Diana Tyler.
So, yay. Yay! Yes, I have been sitting on that one for a hot minute, and of course, we'll send that to you, but also, like, he is ridiculously attractive. I was watching on my phone, I was just like, and I'm not exactly sure where he keeps saying, I swear he's saying he's on Bone Island.
Bowen.
Oh, Boab. Okay. All I kept hearing is Bone Island. And so, and thinking about, like, yes, I would like to go to Bone Island.
It's in British Columbia. Is Bowen
okay,
Island.
That would make sense, you know. So
that sounds right. Yeah.
So yes, up there is he was ridiculously attractive. That area was ridiculously attractive. Like, it all just
like, I don't want to go to Canada, and I don't want to go sit near mountains at a whatever, but I would go. kidding. Poor babe. I love him. I love my husband.
Yes. Yeah. You know. So thank you, Mr. Olson, and we'll see. Maybe we'll reach out. And have you on. We don't have people on here usually, so I don't know. But that's the second cast member that has said that. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe someday.
We have a panel. We should do a panel at the end of a season and get all of them.
No, we should. Well, what I was thinking about was inviting him on for trivia. And have the two of you go against each other in trivia.
Oh, that's stressful.
Mm-hmm. But only ask questions about his relationship with Dean.
I'll just sit quietly.
Yeah. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
And also, like, yes, you're a part of the Supernatural family. I feel happy to be a part of it. I think it's a great fandom. And so as part of that, anything else from we need to talk about that we did in the future?
Nah. Okay. Okay,
so I just wanted, because I'm super excited to talk about this episode.
Oh, I know you are.
And so as time goes by, if you did not know, as is in this episode, that is from the movie Casablanca, it is stuck in my head. It is, we'll see it in the episode. It is, you know, an iconic song. And again, it's an earworm. This first aired January 30th, 2013, and was directed by Sergey. I think it's a Sergey, maybe a Serge. Sorry, dude. And I was not going to try to say your last name, but oh my God, I'm the worst. So the director was the director of photography for every episode of Supernatural, except for the first one. His last name is Ladoucieur. He is Quebecian, so it's French. So it's like French would be like Sergey, right? Or I don't know. I am terrible with French.
Sergey?
So.
I don't know.
He has recently been working on Leah Thompson's new show called The Spencer Sisters. That's about police officer Darby Spencer and her mystery novelist mother, Victoria Spencer. And they have opposite personalities, but they embark on the unlikeliest adventures, becoming partners in a private detective agency. I'm just also impressed that Leah Thompson has a new show. So I want to watch that now because she's delightful.
Yeah.
So it was written by Adam Glass. So we start off with this recap.
Yes. And it is deep about family business, family blood, John and Mary.
Wait,
John's
we forgot.
Journal.
Speaking about family business. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. We did not mention this in last week's episode when we were talking about Diana's visit to South by Southwest. And who did she get a shout out from?
Yeah, I was drinking a family business beer and shared it to our Insta stories and tagged Family Business Beer Co. And they reshared it. Yay. Thanks, Family Business Beer Company.
Send us free beer.
You can sponsor us with beer.
I'm a stripping springs. Okay. All right. So family business recap. Winchester's legacy, bloodline, and baby Sam and Dean. They're so tiny. They're so cute. They're just so little baby boys.
They are. But this episode kicks off in normal Illinois, and it's obviously a little boy's room with a lot of kind of vintage-looking toys. I wonder why. And we've got a man in a trench coat and hat standing there watching this little kid sleep, and it's real creepy.
That is fucking creepy. Yeah, don't watch kids in a trench coat.
But the little kid wakes up, and ends up it's his dad. And dad's just like, I gotta go to work. I'm just saying bye. I'll be back soon. He's like, what's this weird-ass symbol on your tie, Dad? And dad's like, I'll tell you about it someday.
Aww.
And then he turns on a creepy music box and leaves his son.
Yep, and he leaves. And then he ends up down an alley and he does a secret knock.
Before that, he walks by a fucking beautiful 58 Ford Skyliner with a retractable hard top. And in the distance is also a 40s four-door Chevy pickup. Very similar body styles at the time, so it's hard to tell. But that Skyliner was chef's kiss. Anyways, so yeah, knocks on a door that has this symbol on it and gets let in. And there's like this woman sitting by the stained glass window.
No, there is this goddess. There is a goddess standing by a stained glass window because everything she does within this episode is fucking amazing. So this is our first glance at our goddess. And we
Josie.
Which is also the name of one of my mother's caretakers, and she is 84 years old, which is older than my mother, and she is a small Hispanic woman from McAllen, Texas, who is very different from Miss Josie, but possesses many of the same characteristics. I won't say which ones. So this Josie, the goddess that she is there in this fabulous blue dress and pearls and the hair. We can't even see at this moment how good this hair is, but like you can tell from afar it's good, right? You know.
I'm going to make an observation, and I will say that when I was watching this episode, I was several glasses of wine in, so just bear with me. But I also had both Babe and one of my stepsons over, and they were very quick on the car identification front, by the way. But also we had a discussion that the dad's gentleman that we have not officially met yet, but we will soon, looks kind of like he could be related to Jake Gyllenhaal. And Josie, who we've just met, she's got some ScarJo fucking vibes going. A little bit, little Scarlett Johansson vibes.
Maybe.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, you can see that.
A little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah, you can see that.
The red hair kind of helps, but anyways. All right, I just have to throw that in there.
So it means, see her. And then we see a guy in a cloak. What? There's a guy in a cloak.
Some kind of initiation is happening. That's all we know. They made it to the initiation.
There's a secret symbol. There's a cloak. There's a secret knock. What the fuck is happening here? Oh. And just like getting bubbly and excited. What's going on? And then, and the guy in the cloak like takes Josie in, and then the guy in the trench coat takes his coat off, and it is the most like impeccable blue fucking suit.
It's a nice blue suit.
Fucking like he's just smoking hot. I'm sorry, like he's also distractive. I mean, it's made a word, which is distractive. He's distractingly
attractive. I like it.
So much like Ty Olson, he is distractive.
Yes.
You know? So, but unfortunately, as gorgeous as that scene is, there is some screaming and some yelling, which interrupts that.
Yeah. And so this guy runs in. The dude runs in the room. There's dead guys on the floor. There's chanting in some other language, probably Latin. There's a priest bleeding from his fucking eyes telling Henry, is what we learned the guy's name, Henry, don't let Abaddon get it, and hands him a little wooden box. And
the wooden
now,
box has the same symbol that was yes. on the guy's on his pen.
Pin and the door. Yeah.
So we've got a theme. It's kind of running through. And if you have, like, if you've watched it, you know, we're 8 seasons in, you should recognize this Latin by now, at least like by tone and things. Like, hey, yeah. this is probably an exorcism, right? Like, yeah. okay, that's what they're trying to do, but it didn't work.
No. And ends up, Josie is fucking possessed. Josie is Abaddon, and she's like choking out, chanting robe dude. And then she finally looks at Henry, and we see her eyes black. So we have confirmation that she's demon.
And yeah. she has some things to say, and they come out in some high pitched screams. You know, she has some feelings. They're quite loud. And then
Henry runs.
Yes, as you should. But she stalks him through, and he starts mixing ingredients in a bowl. And you're like, oh my God, this handsome man is going to do some fucking magic. And that's amazing. And then he starts chanting, oombop, oombop, pow, pow.
And he uses his concoction to draw a symbol on the door, including some of his blood. And she's trying to break down doors and find him.
No. She's breaking down, like, her arm, like, she's got, like, fucking, like, Obama guns. Like, they're just, like, so sculpted. And you just, like, she's sort of just, like, what the fuck is your workout routine? I'm sorry, I really do worship her. But, like, her arms are, like, just because they match, like, in that dress. It's such a good moment. Like, she's so strong as she's trying to get through this door.
Well, he has done this symbol on this door that keeps her from being able to break in, but it also, he falls through the door and comes out of Sam and Dean's closet in their motel room. What?
And then he asks, which of you is John Winchester?
Oh, no. Yeah. So they're just like, the fuck, neither. And he's like, oh, what did I do wrong? He's all upset. So Dean's like, I'm going to pin you to a fucking wall then. You just fell out of our closet. Sorry, brah. He's like, no, I'll talk to you. I'll explain what I'm looking for. And he's like, this is just a big misunderstanding.
He's very, very polite about this. Like, in a weird way.
He doesn't want to tell them shit. Overly polite. And like, anyway, so Dean tries to handcuff him to a piece of furniture, and he manages to handcuff both of them to the furniture instead. It's pretty impressive.
Like, what? Actually. What is going on? What did he do? So he grabs, like, he escapes, and then he escapes to the wonderful future that is 2013 in the parking lot of a crappy motel, which is, I say, if you're going to come back, like, it could have been Jersey, right? So, like that's, like, a good place to land, though. And he spots baby, and he checks the tag on her, and he figures out that the date, what it is, right?
It's 2013, yeah.
And that the Mayans were wrong.
And then he does something terrible.
He's a bad man.
He breaks baby's driver's side
window. He hurts baby. He does. And then he, like, yanks on her wires to hotwire her.
He's going to try to hotwire. But luckily, Sam and Dean know how to get a fucking handcuff, since they got a gun on him. Boom. Done.
Yes.
And they take him back to the motel.
And also, like, I'm sure, like, I'm just, like, picturing, like, all of, like, the people who, like, took, like, that, like, moment of, like, Sam and Dean handcuffed together to a bed and just, like, like, wound it. How much fan fiction did that inspire?
I don't think they had time to pound one out before they went and stopped him from stealing baby.
Okay, I wasn't saying that they went that far. I was just saying inspired fan fiction. You're filthy. Okay.
You're so
fucking filthy. All right, so inside the room, they have run their tests.
Yeah, they've done all the demon-y tests on him. And Dean wants him to talk, but Henry's being real fucking condescending. He's like, yeah, you wouldn't understand. You're an alpha male monkey, whatever.
Yeah.
And violence won't help you comprehend this.
And to be fair, like, cause I kind of go back and forth on, like, these, like, Dean is, like, they have overly accentuated his monkeyness. Or his alpha maleness in this, right? I feel like his attitude towards Henry and just in general, like, I feel like it's exaggerated a bit.
But he also calls out this asshat that fell out of a closet shows up asking about their dad and smashing baby's window.
Yeah.
His too. I'd be pissed. So they piece together then that Henry pieces together that John Winchester is Sam and Dean's dad. And as he realizes this, the room fucking shakes. Henry tells them to run. And guess who comes out of the closet where he came out from? Fucking Josie, a.k.a. Abaddon.
Oh, no.
Because he apparently forgot to, like, seal it behind him or something.
Yeah, he's a noob, you know. So there she is, the goddess, the queen. And we learn this man's name is Henry. And she just tries to be a businesswoman. And she tries to bargain with the box with a quick death. She's like, look, you know, just give me the boy I came here for and I'll kill you easy. And they don't listen. So then they get flung.
Well, and Dean tries to stab her with the demon blade, but she flickers a whole lot, but it doesn't work. That's concerning. So
yeah,
right
when he does that, though, sorry, I just dragged this a whole lot longer than like you did. So, okay. So, because I want to talk about her more. So he stabs her with a demon knife. And when they do this, this is when you can really see how amazing that fucking green cat eye arch is. And that's like, fuck, it's just so good. Like, so I was like zooming in and like taking pictures and sending them to my friends today. I'm like, look at this. It's a green cat eye. Who makes that work? She does. So, but sorry, they all run away.
They all run away. They get in baby. They peel out. The guy from the motel office is yelling after him. And then Josie goes and confronts this motel guy. And she sends her black cock smoke
in his mouth. Like, this is innovative, right? Like, so far, we have only seen demons, like, cock smoke out. And she's just like, watch
cock
this.
Cock smoke sharing?
I don't know. It's just like, she's it. She's, you know, just the, she's just like, this she's just going show. In. She's just.
Show me what you've seen, is what she says.
And so apparently, like, she, like, into him, and then, like, she can see his memories. And they are all about the Winchesters.
Yeah, because that's all she's looking for. And so she sees flashes of them and then says, thanks, goes back into Josie body and cuts this guy's throat.
With her fucking nails. And I'm just like looking at like, this is the only time like that I wish that I like had claws. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like, your nails to be a felonious weapon. Like, it's just the dream. So she like, you know, she does that. And then we go back to baby once again, peeling off. So how much of like, how many tires do they have to buy for her? Like,
oh, I'm sure a lot. They go through a lot of.
Do they steal them? They probably like. I feel like those are the things that you should steal.
They do, but it's like the complicated. Stealing,
yeah, I hope
like,
they like rip off a fire tire or something. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm just thinking. So it's bulk trash pickup in our neighborhood this week. So like everybody puts their bulk trash pickup out. So everyone just goes shopping through the neighborhood for like things they want. And the neighbors across the street from me put out tires and then like somebody picks them up within like 2 hours.
Weird. I don't think you could put those with our bulk pickup.
I don't know. Anyways. All right. So baby is peeling off the road and John's getting sick.
Yeah. They're like off in some woods somewhere. Henry's puking his guts up. And he's like, I enjoy adventures of a literary nature because he's very fucking proper. And he says that the woman is Abaddon and she's from hell.
From hell. Like, she came to say she's from hell. She's from hell.
And he is from Normal, Illinois, 1958.
Normal, Illinois. That's where they pick for this motherfucker.
Yeah, of course. And Dean's just like, the fuck? And Henry's like, I just need to see John.
No. So I feel like we get a really great line here that I feel is kind of fourth wall breaky, where Dean says, seriously, dudes time traveling through motel room closets. That's what we've come to. That's funny. Yeah.
Well, they inform Henry that John is dead.
Rather harshly, too. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, he hasn't been very helpful to them. I don't know why. And they don't know who this guy is. Why would they not be harsh about it?
I don't know. Somebody came in, like, through my closet, and they're like,
I need to find this person.
Yes, like, and it had something to do with my dead dad.
Yeah.
I'd probably be nicer to them. I mean, granted, I haven't
That's
lived
true.
Their truth.
They probably know
them. Like, they're informed by their own experiences, but Anyways.
Well, Henry is very upset about this because Henry is John's dad. So this is their grandfather that they had never met before. And we get a super close up of a very serious Sam face.
Yeah. And hopefully, like, so this is their other grandpa. And now we're just like, okay, let's hope this one doesn't suck as much as the Campbell side, right? So we're like, just fingers crossed. All right, come on. You've got to redeem. Like, these boys need some love, some family love.
Yeah, sure. So they go eat at a diner, and they've, and then while he's like gone for a second, Sam and Dean are discussing, like, they've checked his ID. It's actually him. You know, it's all about John. This is really their grandfather. And then they're like, but maybe this means that he did not run out on John and that he got stuck somewhere. And that's actually, this is fucked, because if this is the case, that means that, like, a formative part of John that probably, like, really impacts how he was not a great dad, but, and all these other things, and how he hated his dad for walking out, his dad may have never walked out at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, and oh, then, like,
it, heavy.
Yeah, well, and Dean, though, he's really just on this, I want to be, you know, I want to be there. I want to be the voice for John. I want to be mad for John because he's not here. And Sam's mm-hmm. like, he's still sucked as a dad, right? And so,
which is a good point.
It's like, you know, like, didn't exactly we can't make remember, up for yeah, it. Like, he, like, and we'll get through that more, but also, like, god damn, I want burgers and fries. Will y'all stop eating at Dimer? Like, I did eat the salad because that was what was in my fridge, because I had, like, and I had a salad that kind of, like, looked like Sam, so that was fine, but it was not the burger and fries.
Well, they're all sitting there eating, and Henry's like, no, I'll be fine, it'll be fine, I met my grandsons, that's good. And Dean's like, whatever, we just need to clean this shit up. And Henry's like, yeah, it's not that easy to kill Abaddon. You'd need this fancy ass fucking demon knife. And Dean's like, what the fuck?
It's not Abaddon. It was like, he's like, just demons in general, right? So it's more condescending than that. And it's just like, demons can't be killed by run of the mill cutlery. And so this is where you're kind of like, the condescension is getting a little like too on point. And like, you can see Sam is starting to buck up and he's like, the fuck? And like, just like, look at my fucking knife, bitch. And like, you know, this kills demons.
That's all. So Sam, so he's like, okay, fine. So a demon gave this to me. Duh, Dean tells him. And Sam's like, what the fuck was this portal? Can we just shove her back through it? And it's like, Henry's like, oh, it's this blood sigil, and my blood leads to my blood. That's how I got here.
Yeah, so it is a blood sigil, blood leads to blood, or next of kin, right? So the idea of this is like, you know, so you got these ingredients together, and we learn the next thing, that it's going to be his blood, an angel feather, tears of a dragon, a pinch of the sands of times, right? And then you say the words over them, but... why did it go like forward to the point where it was Sam and Dean and skip over John? Like, there was a long time where John was an adult man. Like, that was 1958. Why did it go from 1958 to 2013?
There was a lot of time it could have gone to 1988, 1998. Like, there's a lot of times it could have hit before it got to 2013. Very weird.
Yeah, I don't under, like, that's never explained. And I feel like that's a gap in this.
I agree.
Yeah.
Also, why was Abaddon able to go through it? Was it just because the exact same doorway was open? But there's
that's
a,
because
a line
John
early
sucks at
on.
Magic, and there was something that he didn't do right.
Henry did it wrong.
Henry,
okay.
Sorry. Right. I'm like, John Henry. I keep one as
well. And she made, there was some comment throwaway line when he walked in to the building when he knocked on the door, something about like a family affair. And I was wondering if they were related, but it was such a throwaway line, and there was nothing else that'll do
to Abaddon.
Ted Josie before it was Abaddon. Yeah,
that's never something that, like, I don't think so. I don't think that she is. I don't think
maybe he just meant that it was a group gathering, because that can mean that too. Anyways, all right. So back at lunch, Henry's like, well, we need, including in addition to the ingredients, we also need some soul power. So I've got to charge back up, and he's very upset that Sam and Dean don't know what the fuck soul power is. Because they thought only angels could do this and tap into it. And he's like, what the fuck? Are you kidding? And so Now, he's also asking what level they are, because he thinks that they are men of letters.
Yeah, and anybody who is into any sort of, like, Masonic or, like, secret societies or hermetic orders or any of the fun shit. Like, as soon as you start hearing things about, like, levels, and you're just like, what? Oh, my God. This is secret society shit. This is secret society shit. And then they say something like men of letters. You're like, and then, like, didn't your dad teach you our ways? Oh, my God. No, we got, this is good. This is going to a good land, right? And they're like, no, John taught us to be hunters. And then, like, he throws down some shit.
Yeah. Henry is not appreciative of hunters. Hunters are apes. Y'all should be legacies.
Yes. Yes. I love a legacy. It's so good. I think everybody wants to be a legacy. Like, or at least, like, that's one of, like, my top fantasy lands. Like, anyone who, like, loves, like, a Harry Potter realm or anything, like, you know, like, where, like, you get to, like, wake up and find out that you're a secret. No? Everyone wants to wake up and find out they're the secret heir to, like, an academic knowledge of occult lore.
That's very specific.
Okay. So moving on. So they go to a building.
They go to the alley. That's what the modern version of the alley that he went to meet with the men of letters in 1958. Only now the door has had the sigil filled in mostly. And it is now the entrance to Astro Comics. And he's pretty distraught about this. Dean's real annoyed, but he really wants to know what the fuck the Men of Letters is.
Well, especially because he spent 4 hours in a car with a man who apparently only wanted to listen to Pat Boone. And I don't understand, which, what, fuck you. I would have thrown him out of the car. I don't give a fuck who you are. But y'all could have, like, taken the wheel here, right? Like, why? Y'all had 4 hours. Like, you could have asked some questions. Like, like, why is it now that you want him to explain Men of Letters and what he has against hunters?
You had 4 hours in the car.
You had 4 hours. Yeah. You want to wait until you're outside? Like, okay.
So they're like, he's like, fine. He goes off about hunters again, about how they shoot first, ask questions later, blah. But luckily, Sam kind of finally tells him to pump the fucking brakes, man, because in addition to being hunters, they are John's sons. So he's like, yeah, y'all should have been men of letters too.
No, this is blah, 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 blah. This is, yeah. No, it is not. Sam, so Sam reminds me of their John's children. Henry is just like, I know, but you were more. My father and his father before us were men of letters. We are the chroniclers of that which man does not understand. And so these are the people who are documenting all that is supernatural, like, through time. They're like the watchers in Buffy. They are the people who write down what happens, like, in the supernatural world. And that's just, like, the coolest thing that should exist that doesn't. And so they only share their information with hunters, but they're only with the elite, right? And then, like, Dean, like, rips it back to, like, super other nerdy thing, and he brings in, like, a Star Wars reference. So now they're just, like, sucking at nerd teats, right? And they're just like, we are pumping you full of, like, you're getting all of, like, you get to have your academia world that you know is coming, and you get legacies, and then you get Star Wars. And then...
Sure. Yeah. But Sam's never heard of Men of Letters, so they're going to go into this Ever comic shop.
Like, why? What? Like, shouldn't we have heard of you? Like, why has nobody, like, heard of this thing?
So they're in this comic shop, and Henry is pontificating that Abaddon's all, just after this fucking box, and he was supposed to learn all the secrets to know what the fuck the box is at his initiation, which never happened because of Abaddon. So... inside the main room, we've got Surf's Up America by the Bodega Girls playing, and a really cool chick working the counter.
Yes, and, like, we can, like, her, you see her eye makeup is also amazing. She is rocking, like, a classic sort of pyramid eye with a complete, like, black ringed liner, which I am echoing tonight. In tribute to this girl. I thought about doing her side pony, but I just got my hair blonded and cut today, so I could not do a side pony because it's too flat. But anyways, so they're like looking for like elders, right?
Right. And so Dean, like, what's, there's some funny back and forth where he, where Henry calls their cell phone a walkie talkie and tries to call an operator on it. And then he, they're like, well, let's just use a computer. And he's like, you can't fit a computer in this room. And so Dean borrows the clerk's laptop temporarily. It's pretty funny. I found that amazing. It was good references. It was all for the time good. Travel. And they're searching for these, the elders by name. And they find and
while,
a news story.
While they are doing that, Dean and the punk rock girl are eye-fucking each other. And which makes me, you know, I'm like, oh, Dean Winchester likes punk rock girls. That's cute.
I think Dean Winchester likes girls.
But... okay. I'm just glad to know we're not excluded. So
they figure out, though, that they're on August 12th, 1958, there was a tragic fire at the club. And that, like, killed a bunch of the, all the elders. But there was obviously not a fire at the club because they're standing in this building that is not burned down. So what the fuck happened? And they figure out that that one of these names listed as deceased is a clue.
This is a clue. It is Albert Magnus, who is, Sam should know, but that was a clue. Henry definitely knows that it's a clue. So they go to our favorite place. Let's
go. Cemetery.
To the cemetery. So they go to the cemetery.
And they find Albert Magnus's grave. Well, Albert Magnus was an alchemist in the Middle Ages. So his is not actually his grave, obviously.
No, it is not. And unfortunately, the 13th century alchemist's body did not somehow show up in...
no, in normal Illinois. Or no, they're not even... Yeah. Are they in normal? They're normal.
I think they're back in normal, yeah.
So...
But it was an alias.
It was.
And it was a pet. So I come to this grave. What is the symbol?
Yes. Aquarian star.
Yeah, so this Aquarian star is a legit symbol, and I on the super wiki I was actually kind of impressed with like what they said about it. And so it is a universal hexagram, and the reason that it's called that is because it's a hexagram that you can make in like one swoop without like taking your finger off. Yeah. Like, and so it's used
a contiguous line.
Contiguous, right? Both those words. We passed our SATs. So it's described as the magical Star of Solomon, which is similar, like you have the Star of David, this is the Star of Solomon, right? And this was used extensively by the Golden Dawn and later adapted by Aleister Crowley or Crowley. And I've decided that I'm just going to say Crowley from now on. I'm just not going there. I've been spending a lot of time researching Aleister Crowley this week and because whatever. But so it all comes back to that fucking beast. That's where we are with this. And I'll stop pointing and hitting my microphone now because I'm being excited about the star.
Well, either way, this is where Henry asks if they know how, if Sam and Dean know how to exhume a body, which is just funny for him to ask.
Boy, howdy, have we got something to show to you, Grandpa. Look at us, Grandpa.
Watch this. We can dig up a body real good, Grandpa.
We've been doing this for our whole lives, Grandpa. This is all we do for most of the time. We don't do book learning. We just dig up these tombstones, these graveyards. Mm-hmm. And also on the tombstones for Larry Ganim, there is a Haitian symbol for speaking to the dead. And that was it was a symbol for one of the Loa. But anyways, so they dig and we go back to the comic book shop, but bum, 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 bum.
But Abaddon has arrived and our clerk makes a comment about the Carrie screening because Josie/Abaddon is still looking fabulous except for the blood splatter.
But she really does look like she's going to she would win in a Carrie contest, I think. So yeah, she still looks amazing, and then she decides to cocksmoker.
She does the black cocksmoke to see what you saw, and after she sees the clerk's recollection of Sam and Dean, she notices that our clerk has a cute little devil girl shirt on that says "The devil made me do it," and compliments her on it.
It's a cute top. It is.
I think I've seen it somewhere else recently.
But I've also realized that the chick, the pink and the devil, like matches my hair exactly.
It does.
I did not plan that, but somehow I matched the devil, and the devil made me do it, shockingly. Mm-hmm. So we get back to our grave and our boys all sweaty from digging a grave, just like we like them.
And they have discovered the corpse of a World War I vet. And it is Captain Thomas Carey III. And basically they just know someone wanted them to see it. And so this is the hidden identity. And Henry's like, okay, great. We got the identity. Rebury it now. Thanks.
Yeah, he's concerned. Like, he's
a little inconsiderate. You kind of also know where John gets it from.
Yeah, yeah. And you think, like, how much that was, like, imprinted in his brains. I don't know. So he's rude about that. And we go back to the hotel, which is a bitchin' hotel. It's just...
Oh, it's so good. So good. It's a good motel.
Yeah, and that always makes me think, like, look, you guys, like, I know this is TV land, but they always have, like, these not-so-great signs. And then, like, these insides are amazing. So I'm like, are all these motels that I drive by, like, do the insides secretly look like this?
They might, but they smell not like what you think it will. So there, Sam and Dean are researching. Henry is whistling as time goes by from Casablanca. And Sam remembers that John whistled that sometimes. And so we get a little nostalgia moment where it ends up that Henry gave John a music box that plays it as well. And he would play it to help.
And he gave him that music box because he got scared watching Abbott and Costello meet the mummy. Which is not a scary movie, you fucking pussy, John. But okay. Like, I got scared watching The Gremlins. That made sense, John. Abbott and Costello meet the mummy. Come on, that's slapstick comedy, puss. Anyway, so Dean has...
I was a wuss, so I'm not going to say shit. All right.
You can hit Abbott and Costello.
Well, I mean, as a child.
You could watch Abbott and Costello because it's Abbott and Costello. That's anyway, so true. Dean has found that Tom Carey is alive, and he's 127.
Woohoo! Good for him. So Dean's like, I'm going to go to fucking sleep.
Get, like, Medicaid? I'm just like, do they, like, cut off your services at a point? Anyways.
They just make an assumption, and you get, like, a death certificate in the mail. Like, there's no way. Yeah. Sorry. But in the midst of this, Sam finds a note in John's journal about torturing a demon who worked for Abaddon and says that Abaddon is a quote knight of hell. So Henry explains a little further. Knights are handpicked by Lucifer. They were the first fallen, firstborn demons. And the legend was that the archangels had killed them all. But apparently fucking not.
Yeah. And this is, for the most part, completely supernatural mythology here. This is not. There are occasionally, within some of the demon hierarchies, there are, like, knights and shit, but there aren't, like, knights of hell. But that is my next metal album. So, and, you know, so look for Knights of Hell, like, coming out soon on SoundCloud. So... Henry asked to read John's journal.
Mm-hmm.
Why your feet?
Yeah. Yeah. And he says that the men of letters use journals as well. And after his initiation, he was going to start one.
The explanation, like, it was the Sam thing was weird here. I didn't like it. And I get where it was going and what it was leading to. But Sam was like, you know, hunters, like, write journals. Like, men of letters, I bet, like, within your culture, you wrote, like, you know, like, it was like this weird thing, right? The way he said it, it was like, I bet men of culture, like, letters had heard of journals.
We're not all dum-dums. We're not all
We know dum-dums. What a journal is. Like,
we know how to use our words. But basically what it comes about is this fucking journal.
Yeah, also, like, why is there no point that says, like, Sam not yelled? I went to Stanford.
I wish. That would have been fucking great. We figure out, though, that this actual physical journal was supposed to be Henry's that he had ordered before his initiation.
And that's and pretty so John cool. Had used
it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
his cool. Letters are involved. Cool his letters. His heirloom. His initials are monogrammed into it and looks really cool.
Yeah. And Sam, though, does take this opportunity to fucking call him out and be like, not really call him out, but explain. Because who knows, if Henry just got stuck, it's not really his fault, except that he went to a dumb time. But by the way, your son thinks you thought you ran out on him, and it shaped his entire life and made him a shit dad.
Yeah, so this is when Henry first starts to think of this now. Now.
Yeah, it hadn't even dawned on him. He'd just been upset John was dead and harping on the boys not being men of letters.
Yeah, so this is it's very interesting, though, if you think about what people's assumptions are as they're operating on things, right? And so these three have been operating completely different lines. John, Henry is just assuming that everything is fine, and he goes back to his, I mean, as an audience, you don't know either, right? But Henry is just assuming he goes back and everything is fine, and that he raises John. So it hasn't even crossed, and would it have, right? Because in his world, this has been like a day and a half, right? He's
right.
It hasn't been that long. So why would it have crossed his head? I don't know.
Yeah. And so he's upset, wishes he had been there. Dean just gets angry. And then Henry just tries to justify, probably rationalizing it to himself too, a little bit, where he's like, well, I guess it was my responsibility. It is what it is. But Dean's pissed, big mad. Dean's big mad.
Yeah.
And about the glorified book club and all this other stuff. So it's just, thinks family should have come first.
Well, he thinks that Henry chose men of letters over his family.
But not intentionally. Yeah.
And right. You know, but he's also offering in what he knows at this point, right? I don't think he's still completely come around to.
I don't think Henry's told the fucking story that he was literally in a crisis and running from some shit.
Yeah, I don't think, I think there's been a lack of communication about a whole bunch of stuff that happened before this, and what type of person Weird. He is. So everybody's assuming a lot of things, but also it's really hard to concentrate because Henry is so goddamn good looking. And I don't know what the fuck he's saying.
He's distractive. All of a sudden, I've never noticed that there are these badass dot drawings inside John's journal.
Yeah, John's journal just is. Oh my god, my notes say John reads through Henry's journal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but
Henry's reading John's journal, and there are these badass dot drawings of monsters.
This obviously basically John is an anthropologist, based on, and we've already kind of known this, but he is a cryptozoologist amongst other things, but it's
wild.
But also then I look at this, I'm like, this is the type of journal that I want to have. And then I will spend hours looking on Etsy or Amazon trying to fill this journal up, and I can't make it happen, but.
Well, in the morning, they all go to bed. In the morning, Henry's gone and has left a note about how he's going to fix everything. Well, fuck. We always know this goes badly. Yep. So Henry is at an apothecary/hoodoo shop, whatever, asking for a Tear of Dragon and Sands of Time.
But don't wrap it up. I'm going to use it right away. And the girl working the counter is like, I don't know what you want, crazy man. Would you like some kava root?
And he's like, no, no, I saw symbols. I know you have this shit. And so she cocks a shotgun at him under the counter.
Yep, yeah, because he's not asking for things correctly. And just, I would throw you out of my fucking store. You're being a dick. And I don't think this is a 1940s jargon. I just think Henry may be kind of a dick. And or just doesn't know how to communicate with people well.
A bad communicator. And then he pretends that he's going to buy some chamomile instead, but blows it in her eyes and says a spell and she falls out.
Yeah, he doo-wops at her too. Oom-bop-a-oom-bop-a-mow-mow. And then she falls asleep.
So they are back at the motel. Dean figures out that Henry broke into trunk.
Hey,
not trunk.
Yeah.
So he probably did that with a screwdriver, and he's fucked that up too. He's broken a window. He probably broke the lock in the back of her. You don't even know Henry. Oh, fuck. And then he stole shit. And that probably came out of Cass's ass. We don't know where that angel feather came from.
Well, I hope he doesn't have feathers in his ass. That sounds awful.
He's like waxing.
Just pulling ass feathers. What the fuck is happening? Is he a chicken?
Oh god. Oh no, You broke me. You broke me. we broke each other. All right. They were like looking for some real place that sells real hoodoo.
Because he needs ingredients. So Sam's researching and Dean is going to call
Garth.
Garth. Yay, Garth. But in the middle of this, they get a police scanner announcement about a possible homicide at Astro Comics.
Well, shit.
So they know that Abaddon must have struck again.
So they split up.
Yeah. Dean's going to go find Henry and Sam is going to go talk to
Larry.
Fucking old ass Larry. And they all need to figure out how to kill Abaddon. So Larry's place, there's this old woman that seems like a lovely caretaker for Larry, who looks great for 127.
She's well put together. Oh, yeah. Larry for 127 is also doing well. And he just like, tell Sam Abaddon killed everyone but him.
Yep. Yeah, but blinded him. And but he didn't get the box. But Abaddon didn't get the box. That's the most important thing. So it's basically all we know is the box contains a key to the every object scroll. I don't know.
No, the key is the in the box is the key to every object scroll spell ever collected for thousands of years under one roof. It is the supernatural mother load. What is that squeaking noise in your house?
I don't know.
Okay, I can hear a weird... I think it stopped. There was a weird, like...
I heard it too. I thought it was a bird at your house.
I thought it was at your house. Anyway, so... So basically what they're saying, it's like the Library of Alexandria. This is the key to the supernatural mother load, which also sounds like possibly a Ben and Jerry's flavor.
Mother load.
The supernatural mother load. Like, yeah, I feel like that's something that they would make. And maybe there'd be a little pentagrams, and pentagram chocolate chips in there. That'd be really good. Anyways. So like there's this like really, so we cut from this, like from the supernatural mother load to Dean.
Yes. And Dean has found the shop where Henry is attempting this spell. And he's like, they get in a fight. And they're basically just arguing about who's more sad reading John's journal. That's my interpretation of it. And Henry's like, I need to go back and give John the life he deserved and save him and get back, you know, and then before, you know, and I can go back in time before Abaddon attacked the headquarters.
Right. So this is how my notes of this are written. So Henry is very upset about what he read in John's journal, and he wants to go back and do the right thing. He wants to save Henry, because I still can't call John Henry. Like, I still get him mixed up. Dean tries, my God. Okay. Dean tries to dissuade him with the laws of time travel. Dean is like, we're good grandkids. We stopped the apocalypse. What more do you want from us?
Yeah. And he's like, well, there might not be an apocalypse to stop if I succeed in this, but also y'all might cease to exist. So...
But I don't seem to care about this as I just want to say, I don't know. But I also...
Now I decide I want to care about my family, but I might also be able to care about my family and get rid of
Abaddon. But I mean, I know that this, like, John Henry comes from 1958. And in 1958, the number of time travel movies was limited. But it feels like what he is trying to do has happened in many a time travel movie where you just keep trying to go back earlier and earlier, thus creating multitudes of each other. And, you know, so then we just end up with either having people who don't exist or multiple things. And this is when time travel is stupid.
Yes.
Yep.
Stop. Time travel is stupid. So Sam asks Larry how they stop Abaddon. And he's like, you need to take this key to these coordinates that I'm writing down for you. And you just throw it in and walk away. It's the safest place on earth. It's warded. And it's the price to pay to keep the secret from Abaddon.
It is the safest place that ever existed.
What the fuck is this?
And he's just like, but Sam's just like, so if I do that though, like all this knowledge is just fucking gone, right?
And he's like, yeah, it's worth it. That's what you have to
do. This is like, basically, it's like destroying Atlantis, destroying the Library of Alexandria. Like it's a huge thing.
Yeah. And then the caretaker ends up as a fucking demon and slashes Larry's throat.
She's also just been hanging out with a chef's knife this whole time. Like, nobody just knows.
About, and also, talk about a long game. How long has she been fucking possessed?
I mean, not that long. She's, you know, like, she just flew, like, she was, like, over, she was in the shirt, like, 10 minutes ago. Like, so she's been around.
I'm just saying, like, has this been his caretaker for, like, decades?
No. Abaddon. This Abaddon. So
no, I'm not talking about Abaddon. I'm talking about, oh, yeah, you're right. No, Abaddon.
Abaddon. So she just came over there. Okay. Now, so it's new. Like, it was like she just killed the bitch that was son of the bitch, the woman that loved him and cared for him, the 127-year-old man.
Well, either way, we've now got Josie in Josie, aka Abaddon, has stolen the wardrobe of our punk rock comic book shop.
So she's killed Larry. There's blood splatter everywhere. Dean's phone rings, and here is our much sexier Abaddon. She is here, and I wish she was here now. And I am going to teach you how to get her here now. So hold on to your butts, people. So I'm going to teach you how to summon the demon Abaddon. Dun dun dun. All right. So we're not doing lore on Abaddon, and there's a few reasons for it. One, just because there's lots of things about the demon / angel / blah, 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 blah that could be Abaddon, Abaddon, and like the references that were in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Things change. There's a whole bunch of stuff that have nothing to do with anything that's in this episode. So instead, I thought that you guys would like to know that because on the internet, you can learn how to do whatever you want. So in case you wanted to bring, I hopefully like it brings you this hot, glorious creature in a Devil's Made Me Do It t-shirt and black leather jacket and perfectly coiffed hair and amazing cat eyes with these amazing motorcycle boots and skinny jeans. It is like the perfect outfit that I want to live in all the time. Hopefully that is a demon that like if you choose to follow these rules and do this, like comes to your house. But if it's not, no backsies. I can't control what you do. Okay.
For novelty use only is what you're saying.
And this isn't even my shit. This is according to occultist.net. You can find it at occultist.net/ how to summon Abaddon, the angel of the abyss. And it's by Astonew Sever. If you're not satisfied with the instructions that I'm about to read you, you can request their ritual services on their site. Or if you just don't have the time for to do it yourself, like you can thumbtack them, which is, you know, so they will come and they can perform this for you.
No.
Well, I mean, I didn't say thumbtack, but it's there for sale. Like, go to this will be in our show notes. And I think it was like $99,999 or something to have them do rituals for you, but they said they would. Okay, so your preparation for Abaddon summoning ritual. Number one, you're supposed to cultivate dark energy. Abaddon protects the gates of the abyss. So again, as I said, there are many interpretations of things of Abaddon, and some of them come from the apocryphal texts, which are things I like to say. Those are the things that are nested outside of the King James Bible, but they may have been written by people who were part of that cult. We don't know. Like, you know, they're just additional texts, right? And in there is a story of basically that Muriel was helping to gather the parts that made Adam, but eventually Muriel becomes Abaddon. But in other things, Abaddon has to do with kind of Hellwife, or they are Destroyer, or they like have things to do with the underworld. So I think we're going more in this one with underworld, right?
Right.
So Abaddon protects the gates of the abyss, and they are protecting the gates as much to protect the abyss as to protect those who are not ready to step inside. As the abyss is, admit, these are not my words. The abyss is a dark place that can lead to one's total destruction. At the same time, it can be used to harness a great power imaginable. To gain Abaddon's respect, the magician has to cultivate his dark and negative energy instead of letting it go. Okay, so don't let it go. You just hold on to that dark and negative energy and you just foster that like a garden, right? You rake it. You rake that dark energy.
So the opposite of Elsa.
So don't let it go.
Don't
let it go. Right, because that energy, this negative energy, according to them, is not necessarily bad. It just depends on whether you allow it to exist or try and fight it. And honestly, that's not a bad thing. We have negative things in our life. You really do have to face them. That's at least what these people I go to therapy keep telling me. Like, you can't just, if you keep shoving it down and down and down, apparently it comes out in unhealthy outbursts. I don't know if that's true. That is what these people with degrees keep telling me. We are not psychiatrists. All right, so it goes through some other things. All right, so once your dark energy is cultivated, you have to do fasting and renunciation. Again, not on board with this. But this is to appease Abaddon. Like, apparently Abaddon wants you to be hungry and that's wants weird. You to know that you're willing to reduce your physical needs. So you should perform a water fast for 3 to 7 days. This means not eating anything and only drinking water. Of course, consult your doctor before fasting to make sure you don't have any underlying health conditions that would be exacerbated by this practice. Now, I would really like, and I appreciate that you kept this in your instructions, but I would like to witness this doctor's appointment, or at least like the scheduling of the, like, so like, especially what I have my primary and they're like the bigger things. And so be like, okay, so like, do you have any signs of COVID? No. Then, all right, why would you like to come in? Would you want telemed or do you want to come in? What are your symptoms? I don't have any symptoms. I want to fast. For wise.
So I'm a demon and I want to make sure I can.
I want to make sure that I'm okay with fasting. So please, please make sure to check with your doctor. Number 3, mindfulness meditation. The last requirement for summoning Abaddon is to clear your mind of chatter. Mindfulness is a state of mind where there are no thoughts, just pure emptiness. Get those thoughts out of your mind. Empty them. You're thinking, aren't you? Stop it. You see it. In that state of mind, when thoughts enter your head, you'll be able to recognize them and easily remove them. This is very much like having the abyss inside of your head, a dark and tranquil place, which just sounds lovely. So you need to perform 20 minutes of mindfulness meditation in the morning and 20 minutes before going to sleep for at least 7 days before attempting to summon Abaddon. All right. So if you've done these 3 steps, you're ready to perform a ceremonial magic ritual to summon Abaddon into your life for the before mentioned benefits. Shit. What is she giving us? I left that part out. Whatever Abaddon gives you. So if you want to give those things, you don't know, it's like a surprise. So these are what you're going to need. You're going to need black robes or all black clothes, a ritual blade, dagger, sword, salt, myrrh, incense. This ritual should be performed in a dark environment, preferably at nighttime. Your ritual step by step. I love this WikiHow. All right, number 1. Wear your black robes or clothes to symbolize your cultivation of darkness and affiliation with Abaddon, the gatekeeper of the abyss. 2, create a magic circle on the ground with salt. Salt is traditionally used as a substance for creating magical circles, not circuses. The magical salt circus will be coming to a town near you soon. Number 3, light up myrrh incense. I'm sorry, I forgot. You were supposed to remain inside the circle throughout this ritual.
Oh, inside the circle.
Inside.
Okay.
Inside. Interesting. Don't go out. Interesting choice. It's new, right? Number 3, you light up the myrrh incense. Myrrh incense can be purchased. It has been used for thousands of years in rituals. Myrrh is also an analgesic. or painkiller, and as such, the ideal instance for a dark ritual of this nature. Four. Huh. Sitting in the middle of the circle and facing north, which you can find by using Google Maps on your phone, which I did not learn like for a while. That's why it was so hard for me to use like Google Maps and the walking thing, because I kept going to true north and like it made no sense to me. And then I finally figured out to turn, like someone showed me to turn that shit off. And I was like, oh, now it's like, where should I go? Anyway, so find true north and you face it. And then you use that ritual blade to draw Abaddon's symbol in the air. It's very complicated. I can't describe it. You have to go look it up. So while you're drawing that symbol, you're supposed to chant some words. They're very much oom-bop, oom-bop, pow-pow with Abaddon in there. You can go look them up. And then you say them 13 times.
That's a lot of time.
Even that's if like you've, but you're supposed to like draw the symbol as you say that 13 times. So even if you complete the symbol, like you still, like you've got it, you've just got to hang out. You got to say it 13, not 12, not 14, 13. All right. Number six, then you go lay down on the ground. So make sure that you're someplace that it's okay for you to do that at, in what is known as Shavasana or corpse pose in yoga, and close your eyes. Then you allow the darkness, the soothing incense and energies you've evoked to enter through your limbs and move to your heart and third eye. Instead of blinding you with light, this energy will draw you into a dark vortex. As set number seven, as you spiral downwards towards the abyss, you will find Abaddon waiting in the lowest region. In this visualized dreamlike astral plane, you have the opportunity to communicate your desire to Abaddon and receive his blessing and assistance. Say what it is you want, reveal your dark ambition to Abaddon, and he will surely reward you for your effort and devotion. When you're ready to end the ritual, imagine the dark vortex. I don't want to say dork, but imagine the dark vortex. Bringing you back out to the surface and open your eyes. You remove the ritual items, turn on the lights, and perform some completely unrelated activity to get back to your ordinary senses. So again, these are not our ritual guidelines. These are from occultist.net and Aston New Sever. And if those things were too complicated, you can hire them to do them for you.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
We are not responsible for anything that you summon into your house. You're welcome.
I was mostly just thinking about if you did this in my backyard, you'd have to like
not lay down on dog poop.
Yes. I mean, not that we don't pick it up, but
well,
still.
I'm pretty much like gonna be like before I lay down anywhere outside, I'm gonna be
checking
that. Mostly. Yeah. I'm not that much of a nature child that I'm like, oh, I'm gonna flop down this grass. I live in Texas. If I flop down the grass, there's 90% chance something there is gonna kill me.
Well, we've got now.
We have now gotten to the point where Abaddon wants to trade Henry and the key for Sam.
Yeah. So Henry's like, no, I still need to go back. But Dean's like, nope, sorry. So he grabs him and drags him out. And they are, I guess, knocks him out and drags him in the car. Dean is driving with Henry, says, he's like, nope, you can't, you know, I know you can't save Dad. You know, I know you want to, but Sam's the only family I've got. So we're going to save him. So guess where they go?
Diana's favorite place is where we're going to have your birthday party. I can't wait to drag you to an abandoned warehouse.
Oh my gosh.
Like with nobody inside. Anyway, so Dean brings Henry in with a box and they're going to trade.
Yeah. And Dean's negotiating this and Henry's like, don't do it. But whatever. And Sam's apologizing as it's happening and telling Dean this to Henry and telling Dean it's a bad idea. And right when Dean and Sam are about to turn and run, Abaddon closes the door with her demon powers trapping them inside.
She lied. Oh, I'm so surprised. But then
she shoves her hand into Henry's gut, but he has slipped the cuffs and puts a gun to her chin and shoots her in the fucking head.
He shoots her in the fucking head.
And we get a flashback.
And this time it's okay. This is okay. When this device is fine.
Yes, because apparently earlier, Dean and Henry made a fucking plan where Henry's job is to slow Abaddon down. So she's like trying to grab for the box from Henry, but it's just playing cards in Henry's pocket. And she is freaking out and she is hurting Henry, throws him down on the ground, but she can't move.
Yep, she tries to cock smoke into him. And this is where I also put John instead of Henry, goddammit. And so, but in our flashback, we see Henry carving a devil's trap into a bullet. Mm-hmm. And holy fucking crap, somebody finally thought of that. It has taken us 8 seasons for somebody to get to the point where we go, holy shit, what if we carved a devil's trap into a bullet?
Right. Because now the bullet's in her head, and so she's stuck in fucking place. What the fuck?
Yeah, we got some problems with this. Okay, so, all right. So she is, like, we get to, like, in the present, Abaddon just, like, laughing, like, ah, you didn't kill me.
And she's like, but wait, I'm stuck. The fuck? And so Dean goes on a rant about how he's going to slice her up into steaks and put her in concrete.
Yeah, so we're kind of a little bit of psycho. Dean is back here. I'm like, damn, man, what the fuck, man? Like, you want to look at her? She's amazing. Look at that fucking, like, all of her. She's perfect. You can't want to, like, cut her up and bury her in concrete. What the fuck are you thinking? But also, like, I'm sorry.
Does that mean they're like slabs of flesh would be alive? She's in a
what?
It's a meat suit, but the meat suit, like, the demon doesn't die. And the meat suit doesn't die. The meat suit doesn't die. I'm very confused.
I don't get. Yeah, I think.
Very, very confusing. Shit, and
like, I don't. I think I get, like, her saying in the head. Like, honestly, like, I feel like you could constrict, like, if I was gonna, like, go with this, right? If I was gonna run with this,
if you're gonna buy into it, you got this.
I would say, like, you could, like, cut off, like, the head and, like, the brain, like, you can get, I don't know, I don't get it. Like, I feel like it's the soul, like, the demon soul, because I feel like that's what this is, right? Like, the devil's trap is capturing a demon soul, basically. I feel like it's attached to the devil's trap, so I don't think the rest of the body parts have anything to fucking do with it. I think, like, you could just, like, take out, like, this little bit, like, you don't have to chop her up. You just need to take out this little bit, like, right here. And, like, that is all of it, right? And so, like, the rest of the body would rot away and you couldn't just, like, put it back with it. Like, the rest of the body would fucking rot. Like, the only thing that is, like, what's attached to the...
I don't know. But is the demon, when a demon's in the body, is it that concentrated in one location or is it take up every cell?
I don't
know.
So
there was something, like, before where they said that it's, like, in the whole body. I don't know. Either way, Abaddon/Josie's head's on the floor because Dean beheaded her and it's not good because we don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yep. And so Henry is dying because once again, Castiel is somehow unavailable. Like, yeah. Okay, sure.
And he's, you know, wants to give a very sentimental speech about his son.
Yeah, and he's very sad that he was judging them because, after all, you know, they're Winchesters. And as long as we're alive, there is always hope. And it's very cool. He grabs her hands and then he says that he would have been proud of John. And, you know, then he dies.
And so they go bury him in the cemetery because they go put him in a cemetery. But, like, this guy has been missing for a long time and time traveled. They can't, like, really have, like, a regular.
Yeah. I mean, there's no hunter's funeral for him, which is interesting, right? They don't burn him.
It is, but he wasn't a hunter. He was a man of letters.
Well, yeah. Well, the hunter's funeral, though, is not because you're a hunter, right? Like, the whole purpose of it is so your body doesn't come back as a zombie, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, we're okay if you come back, I guess. And to me, like, it always leaves the door open if you leave the corpse there. But so they do that. And then Sam starts talking about some shit.
He's reminding them about how Cupid talked about mom and dad getting together. And Dean's just like, yeah, we've just got a whole lot of dead in our family tree. So I don't really know.
No. Sam is what Cupid was really talking about was just about how like the Campbells and the Winchesters themselves were these family lines that were just epic and had to be drawn together, the brains and the brawn. And so Sam is seeing this from this like whole, like he's getting like this epicness of like what is probably like what is said. And Dean is just like, I feel really hurt because I saw my grandpa and he reminded me of my dad. And like, that's, and I'm a hunter. I wasn't like, that's like, you know, but it's like, it feels like Sam is taking this from a higher level. Right. And then they both like start kind of wondering like, you know, like what difference would this have made if John had known?
Yeah, that's the question. As they decide as legacies to go see if this magical hiding place for the box still exists.
Yeah. What's in the box?
Yeah.
And you know, Jean's just like, what's the last, you know, what's the chance that this place is still standing? And it's, you know, it's a chance we have to take. But so I think we've got a lot to uncover, you know, as, because, oh, so it's like, what is the chance we're going to take at Weird Legacies? Okay, so I'm going to leave it on that, and let you run through some important people that we met in this episode.
Casting couch. It's the casting couch. Were they on that show that time with that guy?
Yes. So first we've got Henry Winchester, played by Gil McKinney. And he's been in episodes of shows like Ghost Whisperer, CSI, and Castle. He was a reoccurring, fairly regular character on ER as Dr. Paul Grady. He was Max in The Grudge 3. Derek in Friday Night Lights, which is a reoccurring character. Prince Eric in Once Upon a Time as a reoccurring character. And he was in a couple episodes of The Winchesters, which is pretty cool. They made sure to bring him up.
I'm sorry. Like, Winchesters? What's that? Like, that sounds like this whole fake world. I don't know what
TV show I'm not allowed to watch.
I haven't watched it.
I know, but I'm not allowed to.
I'm not allowed to watch it. Well, I'm just like, I'm not allowed to watch it, but I've chosen to not watch it.
And then Josie, a.k.a. Abaddon, was played by Elena Huffman. And so she is in episodes of Dawson's Creek, The O.C., NCIS, CSI, both Miami and New York. She was also a reoccurring character as Black Canary on Smallville and Twyla Twist in Riverdale. Our comic book shop chick was played by Katie Stewart. Interestingly... She's about almost half of her credits are stunt work, including stunt work on Supernatural. And just one fun, like, feature film. She was Anna Kendrick's body double in the movie Noelle.
And if you look at her, though, you can really see, you can see the kind of, you can see the Anna Kendrick. Like, I can see it.
Yeah. But she's also been as an actress in episodes of Stargate SG-1, The L Word, Arrow, Nancy Drew, and The Order. And she had small roles in The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and She's the Man.
That's so cool. So.
Yeah. So, yes, this episode is pretty fucking epic. Time travel is still stupid. Josie/Abaddon looks like a bad bitch. But this premise about realizing that John's dad never left is real fucked. Real fucked. Real fucked.
Yeah, you know, there is so much. So this, you know, behind the scenes, the Devil's Trap podcast. So when we were talking about, you know, doubling up this week for my vacation, it was, Diana's like, we can do back to back. And last week's was LARP and the Real Girl. And I was like, oh no, honey, we cannot do back to back for these two episodes. There's far too much that's going on. So there's so much that we learned from this episode, right? Like, and mm-hmm. like we're like mids, you know, this is episode 12. It's, I guess this is mid-season, right? But I feel like we have just like taken like this huge fucking turn, right? Like, oh, yeah. We have gone from, I don't even know where we were. Like, basically, we're trying to figure out the Kevin problem, right?
Right.
And now what? What have we just dropped in? Okay, so we've got...
serious family history drama. Yeah,
yes,
drama.
So we've got this whole
secret
thing.
Secret society.
Yeah, we got Henry. So let's start with Henry. So what do you think about Henry? Yeah, what do you think about him, like, Henry, like, as a character? Because I obviously have bias, right? So...
well, he's a terrible communicator and kind of a pain in the ass, but he does seem to be a nice person.
Yeah, I think his heart's in the right place, or, you know, at least above his stomach. Where
he was trying to do the right thing. He was just very committed to his legacy.
Well, yeah, and
didn't really think about much.
And clearly, based on, you know, like, granted, you know, Don was not that old when this happened, but he also, you know, was old enough to apparently take some things from Henry and incorporate them to his parenting style. So communication, not a Winchester strength. But we also learned that not only that, but the Winchesters for decades and decades have been uber smart men. What? Like, look at, like, our, like, apey, like, grunty, giant men. Like, so what, did they just, like, were they smaller before? I don't understand. Like, how, like, you can't just grow a Sam and Dean. Those are giant fucking boys. Like, you can't, like...
I mean, apparently Cupid was trying to breed them. Isn't that basically what was happening here? They were getting the, well, we got to cross the bloodlines. Let's bleed
it
some
is.
Big
I
old
know.
Hunters.
It is. This is
kind of creepy.
Oh, God, no. I want to say this is almost eugenics, but I don't want to go there. But it is like, it is, you know. So, but that means we have now a long, I love this in a storyline. I love this in a fantasy, like, nerd genre, like the idea of long legacies. Like, it always, like, I love that as a device. I think it's great. I also love a secret. If you're shocked, I love a secret society.
What? No.
I didn't just quit my job to devote my life to spend time searching for somebody who was in a secret society. Like, what? But... or just, and also, like, someday I will figure out, like, why my grandfather has both the Oddmen and... is it Oddmen? Yeah, is that the word?
Oddfellows.
Or why he has both Oddfellows and Masonic things on his tombstone. I don't know. Mystery. Maybe I am a legacy of...
Maybe.
So this is also something I kind of skipped over as we were, you know, being excited through this. You know, we've got this... what we've seen, like, saw the little clip of, that we saw at the beginning of the secret society, it is very much... what we think of as, like, things that are kind of derived from, like, the Masonic secret societies and Hermetics, like, so Crowley type things, but we're very much in that oeuvre of secret societies. Not, you know, we're not in the, like, culty, like, Manson world. We are in these are the Rosicrucians. These are the people who have kept things hidden. Like, not quite Illuminati, but, like, almost, right?
Closer to that style, for sure.
Right. So, I mean, well, that symbol is an alchemical symbol, right? So, something that goes back. I think all of that is all of this crap, right? That I love. Crap that I love. So we've got the super, like, secret society. We don't know where that's going to go, but they've got, apparently, what is known as a supernatural motherlode. We don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
Anything else? Like, I feel like I got it. Was that all of them?
No, I think that covers it. It's a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot that happened in this, like, this episode.
Because even if it wasn't that happened, it was a lot of information to the universe.
Yeah, I think a lot of canon was, like, set, like, rebrought and brought back in, and then also
or changed,
introduced
or filled in.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there's a lot. Yeah, I think that is in maybe. It'll influence the future episodes of the show. I don't know.
Ooh, who knows?
I don't know. Welcome to the SPN family, Diana.
Finally.
Finally. And I will send you that, and you can watch Ty Olson's face over it. So distractive. All right. Cheers, Dirt.
Cheers, bitch.
Devil's Trap Podcast is a Don't Get It production. Meow.
Devil's Trap Podcast is part of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Devil's Trap Podcast, Twitter at Devil's Trap Pod, or you can email us at devilstrap@devilstrappodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe, leave reviews, and share with all your friends. We're at all your favorite podcast outlets and at devilstrappodcast.com. I'm Babe. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Where I'm gonna go when I